This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello all, Corey here. I have a holiday reboot for y'all. This was released on Christmas of last year, December 25th, 2019. This is a fun episode because it was part of our 2019 Spooky Corner series where I was joined by my friend Brian for a series of 5 episodes focused on specific monsters, spooky creatures, and their depictions in art and film. And then this year, as kind of a quarantine project, Brian and I decided to embark on developing Spooky Corner into its own podcast called Happy Harvest Horror Show. We're like 15-ish episodes in, and it's an all-year-round spooky podcast where we talk about horror, we talk about the occult, just full-on spooky culture in all of its capacities. So if that's something you're into, check it out. Happy Harvest Horror Show. There is a link in the show notes. Also, little teaser, this year's holiday special is all about holiday kitsch, and it was so fun to record. I'm really excited for this episode to come out, so be on the lookout for that in the upcoming weeks. Lastly, if you're looking for a last-minute holiday gift, consider the Honest Art Dictionary. It makes a really solid gift. We have testimonials from people that have received it as a Secret Santa present, which is just so lovely, and you can get it all sorts of places. There are links on our website, arthistorybabes.com. Just click on Get Our Book and you can see the different places you can get it. You can also just, you know, Google and find it. Honest Art Dictionary by us. All right, that's all I got. Hope you all are doing well this winter season. Please enjoy this holiday throwback all about Santa's spooky counterpart, Krampus. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey, and I got a special friend out from the cupboard, Brian Muldoon.
I'm back. Can't keep me away.
You weren't gone long at all.
No, that was pretty short-lived. It was a pretty emotional goodbye at the end of it, and then 2 weeks later, how about we get him back out, you know?
No, this actually works out really well because typically for the holiday season, like the 4 Art History Babes have done a holiday episode, but we just didn't really have time to get everyone together this year. And then you send me a text and you're like, hey, how about Krampus? And I was like, damn it, he's done it again. And... And yeah, so we're combining the holiday special with Spooky Corner, which is like all I want in life. When you combine Christmas with spooks, that's my bread and butter. That's my jam.
Why we love Christmas Carol. It's just the best of both worlds.
Exactly. I tell people this all the time. I'm like, mm-hmm. It's Christmas, it's ghosts, it's mm-hmm. everything I love.
Yep.
Actually, I was just did you ever, when you lived in Chicago, did you ever go to the Christmas Kindle market?
Yeah. The little, like, the kind of like a pop-up holiday market.
Yeah. The German market downtown.
Yeah. They got the beer gardens there. Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, they got the mulled wine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you get a boot. You get a little boot for your mulled wine.
Boot. I remember it's very packed. It's a very concentrated corner of the market, but it's very fun.
It is. It's super fun. It's lovely. There's lots of wooden crafts and pretzels and and it's just a really lovely time. And I went with my mm-hmm. friend Zach, who has also been a guest on the podcast before. And we were just having a lovely Christmas time. And they had kind of nailed up to a wall. They had a Krampus. And Zach pointed it out. He was like, Krampus seems like it would be your kind of thing. I was like, you would be correct in that assessment.
Well, now the stars are aligning and we can talk about them today.
Yeah, so let's do it. We're talking Krampus, the, I guess, darker side of Santa Claus, if you will.
Yeah, it's Saint Nick's foil, right? He's the whereas Saint Nicholas brings goodies for your boots, Krampus will, you know, take your kids away in chains. It's the yin and the yang, you know? It's
okay, but to be fair, like, those do not seem equal at all.
Depends, like, maybe how good the goodie in the boot is, right?
Yeah,
like some kids maybe are getting iPads and they're like, yeah, this is fair. Like, if this is on the table, if this is what's possible.
Yeah, it seems a little like, yeah, either you get some coins in your shoes, or, you know, eternal hellfire and damnation.
And not a fun way of getting there. He stuffs you in a sack. We'll get into all the fun ways in which he takes your kids, but
yeah. He also, depending on the story, sometimes he doesn't take them down to hell at all, but he still isn't very nice.
But is it better? I don't know.
I don't know about that. All right, where should we start? Where should we start with Krampus?
We'll start with, actually, I guess, maybe just who Krampus is, right?
Yeah.
He's a figure in Central European folklore, and he's a horned half-man, half-demon, half-goat. So that's three halves. So half-demon, half-goat. That during the Christmas season, whereas Santa, you know, the tradition is he comes and rewards good children, Krampus comes along to punish naughty children, and not just by leaving coal. Oh, no, no. He does, he brings his birch branches and his chains and his big sack to take kids away, to set them right, is what the story says.
Yeah. The term Krampus comes from the old German word Krampen, which means mm-hmm. claw.
Mm-hmm.
It's typically like a horned figure with claws, very, very monstrous. There's some suggestion that it's connected. Well, I mean, it does come, the whole thing, the whole story has pagan roots, like everything. I feel like everything has pagan roots. Like
100%, yeah.
Everything goes back to the pagans.
We're all children of pagans.
So the way Krampus has developed over the years is, yeah, it's Saint Nick's dark servant, right? So this mm-hmm. darker side to the tale of Saint Nick, basically trick kids into being good, because if they're not, nothing but pain and hellfire awaits.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, I grew up Catholic, and so that's all too familiar, you know?
I know, right? Man, like, what a messed up thing.
Yeah, raised on fear. It's worked forever,
I know, right? It makes you question, like, are any of us actually good, or is it just all fear-based? I don't know.
That's a whole can of worms that all my theology classes in school never wanted to talk about.
I know, right? It's like,
is this all, am I really good if I'm just following the rules to not go to hell? Or is it because I'm inherently good? I don't know, you know?
Big questions, you guys. So the figure of Krampus has pagan roots. Some people connect it to the pagan figure of the satyr, which we've talked about on the podcast multiple times. The satyr.
He's a fun boy.
He's a fun boy. Yeah, he's not particularly evil. He likes to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of, you know, he's kind of like a little goat-like man that likes to have fun. And throughout history, basically before the Catholics got their hands on it, the celebration of the Krampus figure was really just kind of about wearing masks and animal furs and romping about town
mm-hmm.
during the winter celebration of Yule.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't really called Krampus at this time, but that was where the imagery started, you know?
Right.
Was this animal creature that also liked to romp about, like the satyr. And then over time, the Catholic Church was like, we gotta get rid of all this pagan stuff.
As they do.
As they do.
But not all of it. They'll take what they like.
They'll take what they like. And honestly, it's a really smart move by the Catholics, because it's, you know, it's assimilation. It's like, we're gonna just take this and take this to make you kind of comfortable, since it's what you're used to. But then we're gonna put a saucy Catholic spin on it.
Just a real saucy Catholic spin.
And that's exactly what they did. So they're trying to move away from the pagan traditions and move into a more Catholic tradition. So they basically took this figure that really wasn't necessarily, like, it wasn't associated with the devil. It wasn't, you know, it was definitely playful and kind of dark, but like not the devil. Mm-hmm. And they took it and then they tried to turn it in to this very clear duality of good versus evil. They started to add more imagery that was more devil-like, and you'll see that we're going to talk about. There's a lot of old Krampus-related Christmas cards that have been created over the years, and those really latch on to the devil-like imagery.
Mm-hmm.
He tends to be red. He tends to have horns. And I feel like researching this was particularly interesting because for Halloween this year, we did the devil episode. We examined imagery of the devil over the course of history. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how the devil became this figure that was red and had horns and carried a pitchfork. And you see very similar imagery with Krampus. Like sometimes it's like they weren't even trying. They just like made Krampus look like the devil, basically. And the evolution of that imagery is a very similar thing as just the imagery of the devil. So if you haven't listened to that episode, you can go back and listen to that, and you're going to see a lot of connections between what we're talking about with Krampus and just the development of the devil. But basically, so yeah, the Catholic Church was taking over this imagery. And then as a pushback against the Catholic Church, people kind of leaned into it, and they would wear these devilish masks, and they would basically try to continue the pagan tradition, but amped it up a little bit as a way to kind of push back against the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is also, once again, going back to our previous devil episode, that is really interesting because it reminds me of you visited it with me, the Satanic Temple, and the idea of taking imagery from the Catholic Christian religion and using it in kind of a trickster way.
Love tricksters.
I know, right? Me too. Using it in a way that is... reclaiming it and is kind of just using it as a way to push back against the Christian powers that be or the Catholic powers that be.
Right. Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. I feel like that's like an earlier incarnation of like what the Satanic Temple is doing today.
Yeah. In a way, because it's what the Satanic Temple, their whole thing is checks and balances, right, within other religions, is that mm-hmm. and it's interesting that we bring up now Krampus, who is the other side to Saint Nicholas. And I was, upon doing research, thought it was really interesting that we have, you know, Halloween that precedes All Saints Day, you know, it's this another two sides of the same thing. All the good spirits are in one day, bad spirits, quote unquote, than the previous. And now we have the same thing here with Krampus Night, which is on December 5th, which precedes St. Nicholas Day on December 6th. So that kind of darkest before dawn, they're going to get you before the good guy comes the next day.
Oh, geez. Krampus going to get you.
Yeah, you got to hold out just a little longer. Keep those boots out. Did you ever, speaking of St. Nicholas Day, maybe this was just a Catholic school thing that I grew up in, did you celebrate St. Nick's Day in your school? Did you leave? Like,
yeah, I remember doing like, I think we made like little boots or something. Mm-hmm. And then you got like, I don't know, coins or little things in them. But yeah, I remember doing that. And I also remember coming home and like, because my mom wasn't Catholic. Yeah. And so like I come home and it's like early December. And I'd be talking about like leaving boots outside, and she had like no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah, because I mean, I grew up in the Midwest, so we'd always have our snow boots.
Oh,
and we would just be told we had to, you know, we had our line of coat racks, and we put our snow boots at, you know, underneath. And in between classes or someone, they would just come and drop candy in our boots, which was pretty gross because these were sweaty boots. But
yep,
they would.
Yeah. We did that. Yep. We did that at my school too. Yeah. That's cute.
yeah. But we didn't. we didn't observe Krampusnacht, and I, even though I was raised Catholic, and that was probably enough, that still would have.
That was enough to instill the fear of God within you.
They're doing enough, you know. They don't. Do we need another horned devil coming for them? We have plenty already. I feel like we're getting diminishing returns if we get Krampus in there too.
One of my favorite things about Catholicism, though, like growing up Catholic, was how friggin' dark it was. You know, like I like to talk to people that didn't grow up Catholic about my Catholic upbringing, because it's like, yeah, straight out the gate, like you're 5 years old and you're looking at like a bloody Jesus on a cross, and
who's telling it you it's all your fault, you know?
Yeah, that... And we're like drinking his blood and like eating his body, and like it's just chill. It's just like, yeah,
so that we can live forever. I mean it's it's all it'll goof you, and
I very much appreciate the dark aesthetics of Catholicism, and like having that ingrained in you at such a young age. And in a way, they act like it's not a big deal too, you know?
That's the worst part, right? I know. That's the, you're looking at, I mean, was it Maurice Sendak? Someone said that the worst thing you can say to a child is that it's afraid of a monster in their closet, is that there is no monster, you know, that like, mm-hmm. that it instills this like really arrested development, and then of like, oh man, well now no one believes me. So growing up in this church of, you know, you're looking at this, we're all worshiping this a naked stripped man that's been beaten, you know, crucified to a cross, and everyone is dressed in their Sunday best going, yeah, this is good, you know.
Like, I mean, I'm like 5 years old, like in the pews just like eating dry Cheerios, like, yeah, like whatever, what? You know.
This is all okay. Oh man.
But I appreciate the absurdity of it, to be honest. I feel like, yeah, Catholic school kind of missed the boat by not jumping on the Krampus bandwagon.
Yeah, at least, I mean, you're doing enough in these other places, I feel like. And you're throwing candy in my sweaty boots. You can also give me a little fun here, you know?
Come on. Also, I want to talk about this before I forget, before we get into any of the images or the movies. Mm-hmm. So I just learned about this in a mad dash to do research before we got on the phone. I just found out about Perkta, the winter goddess. Have you heard about this?
No, please do tell.
Okay, so I was watching this video on YouTube. It's really good. Krampus exploring the legend of the Christmas demon. And there is a connection, because Krampus has roots in Germany, Austria, that area. And there is a connection to Perkta, the winter goddess, which is this Austrian character that was apparently very briefly discussed in the Brothers Grimm fairy tales at some point. But she's basically a badass combination of Santa and Krampus.
Oh, hell yeah. That's what I'm always looking for.
So we have this awesome female goddess representing duality of man in I think a pretty cool way. And I got really excited about this because, so we briefly in our 2016 holiday special of the podcast, we briefly touch on Krampus a little bit. And also in that episode, we talked about La Befana, which is basically an Italian Christmas witch.
Oh, yeah.
It's like this badass lady Santa Claus that drinks wine, and she's like amazing. And I was so excited about her because it's like we don't have a lot of female centered Christmas figures, you know, like Santa Claus is always a man. And so I was really excited to see that there's this Perkta, the winter goddess, who is both of them. Like, she is both the Santa figure and the Krampus figure. And like Saint Nick, she'll, you know, leave coins in shoes of children that were good. But if you were bad, oh boy, for kids that were bad, she'd go real dark real quick. She would slit open their bellies.
Oh.
And and she would remove their insides and fill them with straw and pebbles.
Oh, God. They're going to be so heavy.
He's so uncomfortable.
That is the last thing I would want done to my belly.
And yeah, in the images of Perkta, like the good Perkta winter goddess is this ethereal, you know, spirit, basically, like winter spirit.
Yeah.
And then the evil, the dark side of Perkta is kind of like an old hag, is represented that way as this scary old witch. But I don't know. I just thought, I was like, I like that. I like let's stop with this good versus evil. Let's just wrap them all up into one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like one, let's get figure. Some real gray nuance in there. That they're not all good and all bad. They're all.
Exactly. Exactly. Also, just real quick on the subject of lady Christmas figures. Mm-hmm. Do you have Disney Plus? Did you get
do
on
I
Disney
ever?
Plus?
Oh, love
I
it.
I figured you would.
Some great stuff in there.
Did you watch Noelle?
Yeah.
With
Bill Hader and Anna Kendrick. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I thought it was so cute.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And I loved that they went the route of like female empowerment. They're like, fuck yeah, there can be a lady Santa Claus.
God, yeah, fuck yeah. I admittedly did not finish it, but I did.
Oh, I just spoiled it for you. No.
It felt like that's where the story was headed, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can kind of make that assessment from the beginning. Yeah. Like, oh, she's supposed to be Santa Claus.
Yeah, I think that's why maybe I should have maybe given it more of a shot, but that's why I was like, from the get-go, you're like, clearly she's the most eligible for this gig, and I don't know why everyone is, like, stuck in...
Right.
Yes.
Because of the patriarchy, Brian.
Oh, I know why. I just don't mean I like it anymore. You know, like... I don't think it's any better or less, you know?
I adored Bill Hader's character in that movie, though.
I just adore Bill Hader.
Oh, me too. I am, like, madly in love with Bill Hader. Like, it's really a problem.
Yeah? Oh, he's so good. Do you see It Chapter 2?
I haven't, but
oh,
I need
man.
To.
He's a star in that. It's so good. Steals the whole movie.
I just finished Barry, finally.
Barry's great, yeah.
Barry's amazing. I put it off for a while because I can just be really weird when it comes to like violence.
Uh-huh.
And finally I was like, nah, I'm ready. And I marathoned it so quick. It's so good. Speaking of duality of good and evil, uh-huh. That show is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. He is vast and contains multitudes in that show.
Yeah, everyone watch Barry. Everyone watch Noelle. Back to Krampus.
Back to Krampus. Speaking of women figures in the folklore, I also saw in the recent years, Krampus has also been connected to the Norse goddess Hel, as in it's Hel's son. So there's something there too.
That's
and Hel controls the underworld in Norse mythology. So he, with his sack, taking those kids, taking them down to the underworld.
Nice. Oh, I also wanted to mention too, with Perkta, there was also basically like a whole group of Perktin, which were protective spirits that had the same vibe, essentially. So this is where we kind of get this idea of there being a bunch of Krampus. What would be the plural for Krampus? Krampi?
Oh, I don't know.
Krampuses?
Krampies.
Krampies. It's a bunch of little Krampies.
Cramps. Yeah.
The cramps. That sounds
Christmas
like
with the cramps.
That sounds like a disease. Like I got the cramps.
Cramps.
I got a case of the
cramps. I'm having a bummer holiday. I got a case of the cramps.
But yeah, so there's also this idea that Krampus isn't just one guy.
Oh.
You have a whole army of the cramps. So it's a kind of monster. Kind of like, you know, like the Wendigo.
Yeah.
Going back to like, it's a type of monster.
What's scarier, one big Krampus or like a bunch of little Krampuses?
How little are they?
I'm thinking like elf size, you know?
Oh,
like
yeah, that's the
helper Krampuses.
That's pretty terrifying still. Elves are kind of creepy.
Inherently, right?
Yeah. So yeah, little.
Because they're uncanny. They're like human, but not.
Exactly. Little tiny Krampuses. I don't know about that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, but would it be worse if there was just one big, like, two-story Krampus coming in? I don't know if Krampus is two stories tall, but
I mean, still. that would be terrifying, but at least you know what you're dealing with, you know?
You see him coming, you see
you
know?
Him, you're like, I see you. The little elf Krampuses, like, you don't know where they're hiding. You don't know what they're up to.
Ain't that just the way? That's so true.
Oh, man. Okay. So, Krampus, do we want to look at some of these cards?
Yeah, let's transition. Because I think it explains a lot of where... This is a really interesting one because I think it's primarily Krampus's fame in the U.S. is indebted mostly to these cards, to the art of Krampus that really inspired, like, oh, who's this dude? So we can get into it.
Yeah, because they are wild.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've seen them. If you've ever heard, you know, Krampus, and you remember like kind of the old timey art of the, would you call that Art Deco? Sort of, what would be the style of it?
I don't know. I don't know exactly how I would.
Because I would describe, maybe not Art Deco. I think of that shop we were in Salem where we had like all the vintage Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
It's very much in that world. So like very vintage holiday art.
I don't know. Yeah, I look at these and it's just like distinctly vintage. Like it just feels
very vintage. Yeah.
Vintage.
Yeah. The rosy cheeks, all the yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it just feels at least what vintage has come to mean contemporarily. Yeah. That's what these cards look like.
I didn't know
me.
If there was in the art history world if there was a better if there was a
there
term,
might be,
you know.
I might just be being a bad art historian.
Oh, I'm
like,
so sorry
that's...
I called you out. I didn't mean to.
it's okay. I don't take myself that seriously. So I've got a bunch of them, but like if you Google, like they're never ending.
They are all.
And let's see. In this first image I sent you, Brian, there's six different Krampus related cards.
Yeah.
And they all have very, like they're all very devilish, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we've got horns in one of them. We've got the Krampus is this black. It's got like a goat, a furry goat like body. Mm-hmm. So like Black Philip.
Oh, yeah. All hail.
Black Philip. And then he's got this crazy long tongue and he's carrying a broom. I wonder if the broom has to do with the straw that Perkta would put in the kids' bellies.
Well, it's also connected to the birch stick, right? And what I've seen is that connected to pagan witch rituals of kind of like a mock death ceremony they would do, that they would use them for, what's the word I'm looking for? Flaying, not flaying. What's the word for whipping without a whip? I can't remember. But anyway, his tools are very much inspired from pagan rituals, like the chains that he has insinuate maybe like a Christian idea of trying to chain the devil down. But he's mm-hmm, obviously freed, mm-hmm. and now he's using them to his own good. And now the birch sticks are used to, you know, whack him. And so, which is what...
Whack him good.
Whack a Krampus. Yeah.
That would be a great, like, Christmas carnival game.
Very much so, yeah. And I can't help you say trickster, and I think of in like Commedia, the Arlecchino character, he's the trickster, mm-hmm. and they walk around with slapsticks, right? He would hit people and it would make a slap sound and we'd all laugh. It's really funny. This is like the same tool, but not as funny. It's very much, it's like a painful punishing thing. But it's so funny to see all these parallels within, like, he's very much a trickster character.
Yeah, totally. It's like still kind of funny, though, is the thing. Like when you really think about it, it's very dark. But like some of these images are very silly, you know.
Oh, they're hilarious. But if I mm-hmm. was that child, you know, in one of those sacks, like
not so hilarious,
not so funny. Life's always funny when it's not happening to you.
Man, we're just full of nuggets of wisdom on this episode.
Brought to you by Krampus.
I wanted to talk about in this first one, this panel of six different Krampus cards.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about the third image on the top.
Yeah.
Because once again, going back to, because literally all of these are very connected with devil imagery. They all have some element of typical Satan imagery.
Yeah.
But in this third one, we have, he's got the bottom, like the legs of a goat, but he has a human, basically, or like a, yeah, like a human torso.
Yeah.
And he's shirtless. And it reminds me of the sexy Satan imagery.
Yeah.
Not only did the image of Krampus kind of take on the more straightforward, silly imagery of the devil, but they also played into the sexy Satan trope, which I think is really interesting because there was like an attempt at some point to make Krampus sexy.
Oh, and it's, I don't think we have to say that that attempt is over. We can still do it.
We don't have to stop.
We don't have to stop. Don't give up yet. Krampus is sexy. Whereas old, you know, old Saint Nick, Santa Claus, he's like your happy grandpa, but Krampus is like daddy, you know?
Yeah.
Like...
Exactly. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Krampus is going to show you a good time.
I can't help but to think in this picture, that third one, you're like, it's like a sexy body. And I, but the first body that I think of is like Jeff Goldblum's body.
Oh,
I'm seeing you, Corey.
But Jeff is sexy, though.
See? That's what I'm saying. I see you.
Like, Jeff Goldblum. Oh, man.
All right.
He's
the Krampus we deserve.
I would love to see Jeff Goldblum dress up as Krampus.
Same.
That's a peek into my fantasies for you all.
I'm so happy that everyone tuning in for some good Krampus like lore is getting just a... a two-hander of how sexy Jeff Goldblum Krampus is.
If they listened to the devil episode, this isn't the first time I've gotten hot for the devil. Like,
this isn't the first time.
We go on for a long time in the devil episode about how hot some depictions of Satan are. So it is what it is.
Living deliciously. That's what
it
is.
Yeah, exactly. Live deliciously. Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
Let's see. I do also, I'll mention in that first six images of Krampus, right underneath sexy Krampus, we have a little like goblin Krampus.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I imagine the tiny Krampuses to look like. Like if there was a bunch of little Krampus goblins.
Yeah, I
hiding
guess
around your
I
room.
like the image of like a 10-foot tall Krampus, you know.
Yeah,
is where my preference, my ideal Krampus would be, you know. If I'm being punished,
and that's how the Krampus is portrayed in most movies, correct?
Yeah, it's bigger and scarier as it always is.
So no one in film has tapped into the idea of like the tiny Krampus, the gang of tiny Krampuses.
Not that the gang, not that I know. I mean, there is one that I'll talk about Mike Doherty film just called Krampus that came out just a few years ago. And Krampus in that is very tall, very 10 foot tall, but he's got a bunch of little helpers, elves in it that are essentially just little Krampuses as well, because they're evil little elves that run around and doing nefarious things. But so that movie gets kind of both sides, but it does not give the mantle, the title of Krampus to anyone but the
main guy.
Yeah, the daddy figure. Yeah.
Before we dive a little bit more into film, I just want to talk about the last image that I sent you.
Yeah.
I really like this one. Because you have, I mean, this one's clearly incredibly Catholic, and you have an image of Krampus, and he's wielding, he's got the chain, he's also got the straw,
yeah,
he's got the horns, he's like a hairy devil man, the long tongue,
uh-huh.
But he has a very friendly face.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, very. And my favorite here too is the, you get the little boy that's praying to him, you know, like,
yeah,
that
yeah.
Not only is he happy, he is like, this is who I choose to pray to, you know?
Right. Like, yeah, that's so interesting. Like this. And I mean, I think they're trying to get across the idea of repenting, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Catholic reconciliation. You got to say your Our Fathers, your Hail Marys, and Krampus won't get you.
Krampus won't get you. It's such an interesting photo because we got Saint Nick right next to him wearing full like Catholic priest cardinal robe, you know?
Yeah, and he looks like the friggin' Pope.
He looks like the goddamn Pope, and he's got a fucking bag of toys and but this little baller of a little boy is instead praying to Krampus right next to him with the change in the horns. Like, no, I swear off all earthly delights to give my whole soul to Krampus.
And it's also, I like that you have this Krampus and then this Pope-like Saint Nicholas right next to each other, as though it's like a buddy situation, like a buddy comedy, you know, like sitcom, like good cop, bad cop.
Yep.
They're in it together. And I like to imagine
through thick and thin, no matter what life throws at us, we're in it together.
Right. Like, I like to imagine, even though, you know, they're opposite sides of the coin and they got different work to do, they like understand each other.
They get it. They don't agree with it, but they get it.
They have a rapport between the two of them.
They do have a rapport. They go back.
Oh, man. Oh, Krampus.
Oh, Krampus. So, yeah, this is, we're talking about all of these vintage posters. This is really what I think rebooted his fame in the U.S. is seeing all these photos, right? That we've got countless Christmas Santa Claus traditions. It's all happy and it's a good, but I think there was a hunger for what else is there?
Yeah, yeah. Let's have a little fun with it. Why don't we?
Like, who's this devil boy torturing these kids? And then I don't know what it says about us, but as a society, we're like, fuck yeah, let's really blow that up. Like,
I think it says that we're human and we're complicated. Do you got anything else movie wise?
Yeah, I got a few movie wise. Yeah, so I already brought it up, but Krampus is a really it's hilarious. It's a more of a comedy movie than horror, but it's a comedy horror movie, and it takes place Christmas time, where the spirit of Christmas has not been honored, and so this year, instead of Santa coming, it's Krampus coming to punish all of us North American U.S. heathens that are so consumed with capitalism and material goods rather than the spirit of Christmas. So he comes and punishes us. It's a really fun movie. It came out in 2015. It's directed by Mike Doherty. Like I said, he directed Trick or Treat, which is my favorite Halloween movie. So this is now on the list of one of my favorite Christmas movies. It's really fun. The kind of mischievous nature of it. It takes all these images of Christmas traditions and really hams it and scares it up. You've got, you know, evil little elves. You've got Krampus figure, who in this iteration of Krampus, you never see his face. You see his hooves, but his face is like this sagging, drooling, low hanging jaw of a face that you realize isn't really his face. It's it's the skin of another person's face put on top.
Oh shit.
And he's wearing Santa's hat and big cloak too. So the insinuation is that in this version, Krampus killed Santa, is wearing his face, and is coming and punishing all of us.
Damn.
Yeah.
They just went for it.
Dark. Super dark. And the whole movie is dark, but in a very funny way. The cast is really stacked. You got Toni Collette's in it. Ooh. Adam Scott is in it.
I love Adam Scott.
Yeah, it's really funny movie. If you guys are looking for a mischievous holiday time movie, check out 2015's Krampus. And then there's been really dozens of other Krampus movies that are all horror movies that have different titles, ranging from Krampus Holiday Christmas Evil to A Christmas Horror Story to, you know, not to insult the movies, I have not seen them yet. Maybe there's some real gems in there, but they all seem to be going for the same thing.
There's one on Hulu that I almost watched in preparation for this episode called Krampus Unleashed.
Unleashed, yeah. Unchained.
And I was going to watch it, but I watched the trailer and it looks just god awful. Like, it, I feel like they made this movie with $5.
Yeah. And sometimes that can be real good, you know, that can be really
That can be a fun time. I shouldn't judge, but it looked kind of rough.
There is, I was saying beforehand, there is another Krampus-like movie called Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale, which takes place in a northern Finland town where this drilling operation uncovers what they think is the tomb of Santa Claus. But spoiler, it's not Santa, it's Krampus. And so Krampus is coming and taking all the kids and killing the reindeer. And
at no point in the Krampus legend. Is there anything about a tomb? I've never heard of a tomb of Santa Claus. Like, I like that they really just like went for it in terms of spooky imagery and mythology. They're like,
yeah, really leaning into that.
Yeah, really, you know, we're gonna mix it with like a mummy or a Dracula type situation here. Just going all in.
I love it. I love it. Let's splice all of our classic monsters into Krampus. And that works.
And there we go.
Everything works. I loved the idea of, because Christmas is such a wholesome family, jingle bells kind of time. I love this attempt at new holiday horror, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That if we're in a spooky corner, not quite Krampus, but there is, I think, so much to unpack in spooky, scary Christmas movies, because it's inherent. We talk about Christmas Carol, Ghosts of Christmas Past. You're together with your family. It's scary, and I was trying to think of some other holiday Christmas movies that are also worth checking out. And I think going full away from fantasy and folklore, you got Black Christmas. Have you seen Black Christmas?
I have not.
I don't think you would like it. It's really
all right.
It's a slasher film before the slasher film hit, really. But it's directed by the same guy that did A Christmas Story that we all love. We watch it 1,000 times a year.
Oh.
And it looks that, you know, that kind of vintage. I always think of my grandparents' house during Christmas when I think of A Christmas Story, because it's got a carpeted floors, wooden walls, mm-hmm. the multicolored lights that kind of flare, and it all kind of looks really dusty. You know, that kind of look, that classic holiday.
Yeah.
That's very much what's happening in Black Christmas, except there's a killer on the loose. Very scary movie.
Everyone's dying.
Yeah, everyone's dying. And it also, I mean, I bring up Black Christmas too because there was a remake that just came out this year from Blumhouse that I have not seen yet, so I can't speak to, but the original was really good.
I've seen the trailers for the remake, and I was like,
about? We also got maybe talk about Nightmare Before Christmas, right?
Because that's like your fave.
I love it. That movie raised me. I love that movie. But I owe that so much to that movie. But that's another like horror element sneaking in and taking over Christmas, which is maybe what Krampus does himself. I think Krampus would see that movie as a kid and go, I see you. All right. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's Gremlins. Gremlins is another great one.
Oh, Gremlins. I haven't seen Gremlins in so long.
I always forget Gremlins is a Christmas movie.
Me too.
That's another, you know, you if you're naughty and don't follow the rules, you're a cute little, what's the Gremlin's name before he turns into a gremlin?
Gizmo?
Mogwai. That's right.
Oh, Mogwai.
Yeah. Yeah, don't you know? Yeah, if you don't follow the rules, you get punished with evil little gremlins.
They're so cute though.
Yeah, and this is all in the peripheral of Spooky Krampus. There's three other movies for you to check out in your spooky holiday season.
Also, there's a new, I haven't watched it yet. It's on Hulu. There's like a spooky, like they're really leaning into the spooky element of Christmas Carol. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's on FX. They got Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
He's Ebenezer Scrooge. Andy Serkis is Christmas Present. Yeah, it looks great. I have not seen it yet, but I always think that Christmas Carol would do well for like a good hard horror.
Oh, yeah.
Telling of it. Because we've got our fill of what it could be as a wholesome thing. We got Muppet's Christmas Carol that knocked it out of the park.
The
greatest movie of all time. So when you're trying for like a good wholesome Christmas movie, it's too late. It's been done. It's perfected. Muppet Christmas Carol, it's out there.
Yeah, it's true, though. Like, I was actually watching, Muppet Christmas Carol last night, and I was like, no one needs to try this ever again. Like, they just...
Ever again. It's done. It's out of the park.
They killed it, man. Like, it's so good.
Did you... I watched... Oh, my God. Now we're on a Muppet Christmas Carol thing. I watched on Disney Plus about a month ago, Muppet's Christmas Carol. They completely took out the Love Is Gone song. Completely. It's not in the movie.
Really?
Completely cut out. And I'd always remember in college when we would watch it, we'd always laugh and joke about how awful that song is. And how it's like, it's in this perfect movie, there is one crack in the gem, and it's that song. And as the song was coming up, I was telling Walls, like, because she had never seen it. That's why I was so excited to show her. I was saying, now, okay, this whole movie's great. You're having a great time. Just, you're going to have to excuse the next 5 minutes here. And then it skips over it completely. And I was blown away. I'm like, oh my God.
That's hilarious.
Even Disney Plus was like, no,
That's so interesting because, like, you know, sometimes things get cut because they're offensive or something. There's nothing offensive about
it. It's offensive to your ears. It's offensive to...
It's just not good.
Oh, man.
Muppet Christmas Carol. I think I've talked about Muppet Christmas Carol on every one of our Christmas episodes that we've ever
done. You're fighting the good fight. People got to know.
They do. Like, they just do. It's the best film. So good. Muppets, man. Muppets are where it's at.
Muppets where it's at. Well, thanks. Thanks for bringing me out of the cupboard.
Yeah.
The cabinet to talk about some spooky and holiday time.
Yeah. Thank you for suggesting the idea. It was a good one. I had fun. Talking about the Krampus. I mean, I'm not going to get all sentimental because you will probably do another episode like next month. So.
Yeah. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks, right?
Hope you enjoyed that episode, everyone. And hope you're having a lovely holiday season, whatever you celebrate. Hope you're, you know, staying warm and, I don't know, eating cookies and stuff and hanging out with family.
Drinking that eggnog.
Drinking some nog. Maybe you're out there hunting the Krampus. Maybe that's your winter festivities.
Maybe. Oh, man. Krampus hunting? We didn't even talk about the Krampus run.
Oh, the Krampus run.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Quick, the Krampus run. They celebrate it in parts of Germany and Austria. You dress up as Krampus and you run through the streets scaring kids and that, yeah, did I cover it?
Yeah. You got it. Nailed it.
Okay. Cool. The Krampus run.
So there's that. And now, because I just said it, we're going to have to turn Krampus hunting into a thing. I feel like that could be a fun winter activity.
Yeah. Dressing up. Kind of like Ghost Bros. You know, those ghost hunter shows. Like, hey, Krampus, yes. I've been naughty. Just like trying to goad him out, you know? Where you at, Krampus? I've been no good at all.
I've been no good at all.
Incredible.
Okay, so we've given you plenty to think about and plenty of fodder for your dirty holiday fantasies.
For Daddy Krampus.
Thanks for listening. This was a fun one. As always, thank you for being here, Brian. Spooky Brian.
Always happy to be. Yeah.
And we'll see y'all next time.
All right. Bye. Happy holidays.
Oh, geez. Grandpa's gonna get ya.